Welcome back into the Kia Studios here in Midtown Atlanta. Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz here with the full-time report. Atlanta United falls to Pumas 3-2 in League's Cup action. They are now eliminated from League's Cup with one game back at home on Wednesday night remaining. Maddie, there's a lot to get to from a variety of different aspects in this one. We'll, in time, get to the officiating situation that gifted, in my opinion, your opinion too. We came to some agreements on some of those calls. Certainly the second PK is outside of the box. It should not be a penalty. The nonsense at the end that you just heard called as well. But ultimately, it is not enough for Atlanta United. We await the words of Ronnie Dyla from the post-game press conference, and hopefully we hear from Jason Longshore as well with a player or two if we can get our hands on that. But before we do that, a statistical recap brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Possession nearly even, a slight edge for Atlanta, 52-48. Shots in favor of Pumas, 11-7. Shots on goal in favor, 6-3. And a large XG gap, double Atlanta United. Pumas had 2.8, Atlanta 1.4. A lot of that has to do with the penalty kick and then the ensuing rebound off of the penalty kick. Those two chances, along with the early penalty, certainly gets you there. Frustrating, Maddie, because you and I had talked. It felt like at times Atlanta was the better team, but against the run of play from the penalty spot, Pumas made it count, and they were able to grab the 3 points tonight.
Listen, it's one of those where I feel like it's been, you know, the story of the season. You know, you have these really great moments, and then, you know, luck doesn't go your way. I think the first penalty, I think, is very soft. Yes, there's contact. You see from watching it, you do see where Brooks kind of clips the foot at the bottom.
But here's the thing,
and to credit to Pumas, he sold it.
Yeah,
he
sold it
to the
down.
Ref, and
right,
that's what he
yeah.
did. Like, that's exactly what happened. There's contact, but it's soft. Every other game you see it, it's one of those where it can be called, it cannot. I've seen it both ways, but he makes a meal out of it, and that's it's exactly what Miggy did to get the other one there. It's, you're making a meal of it, you're making the ref make a decision.
I think in that moment, even when you see the replay, you're like, I get it, it's soft, but there's no way they're overturning it.
I would disagree with you because of the other things we've seen this season. It has happened before.
Yeah.
I would disagree with you in that sense. It has happened multiple times before. I mean, look at what happened to us a couple of times, too, this season in particular with some calls. It happens.
Yeah, well, I think you're talking about a lack of calls. I mean, you've had a couple overturned, too, I guess. The funny thing is, as quote, light or easy as that one was, the other one was the one that you and I were both like, I don't understand, and I unfortunately, we don't have a pool reporter the way that some of the other sports do, and we don't get access to the officiating crew like you do sometimes in the other sports. I would have liked to, I forgot what it was now at this point. Oh, the goal the other night and why it stood as opposed to being a penalty shot on Wednesday. That made no sense. Tonight, certainly the second penalty. It's contact that begins outside the box. The shirt pull from Ronald Hernandez, it's a foul. It's okay to be called a foul. It's outside the box. It just cannot be called a penalty under any circumstances. It was, and it gives Pumas the advantage there. And so a lot of questions remained for the officiating crew, including certainly the timing down the backstretch there. But look, I want to be honest with people. You, Maddie, seem quite frustrated and bothered tonight by the result. And I certainly don't blame you. The performances continue to be there. And we've seen Mike Conte mention that and tweet about it. They did look a lot better tonight. But again, the results just are not matching up with the performance. It's something we saw earlier in the season under Ronnie Dyla. It's starting to creep its way back in. This one probably as frustrating as any.
I agree as well. We just got word that Ronnie Dyla is coming in now as well.
We'll wait a second. I know we're link might be a little bit delayed. So, Dom, just give me a heads up when we're actually set there. But, yeah, I'm interested to see what Ronnie Dyla is. This one might be fiery. Let's hear it.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll get started with the press conference for head coach Ronnie Dyla. We'll start in the room, and then we'll go to Zoom.
your reaction to all of the chaos at the end of that match?
I think the two games that I'm a coach that never talks about the referee, and to be fair, in the end, I don't think we really deserve to win. I think they had their chances, so that's okay. But the way it happens, it's very different. As I need to stand up for my boys, because this is over. It's crazy. That's like a clear red card. He can stand 15 minutes on the pitch and control the wall. And whatever he wants to do on the pitch, it's just like if you are a star, you can do whatever you want in this league. But when the others, it's like you're punished if you come a second too late. So where are the consequences in the whole thing? So and then the penalty is outside, in my opinion, very cheap penalty they get in the first half, and no interesting to communicate. So I'd say, and that was not there also last week. So the decision is I can't understand some of them, but we played a really good first half. I think the first 50 in the second also is okay, but then they come more and more into it. They tired us out, and we need to do our changes, and we couldn't keep up with their tempo. And they were a better team in the end. So that's something you have to accept. But the way it happens, it's we don't need to say so much more about that. I've been coaching 20 years. I never get a red card in my life, so now I get a red card, so I've done that also. But I said just this is a joke. That's what I said, and it was. So it's a theater, and then it's the first time. But sometimes we have to react. I can't sit and watch it because it's not the same rules for everybody.
Talk a little bit about the changes you had to make as well with your two center backs.
Could you talk a little bit about the changes you had to make as well with your two center backs going out and the decision making to get where you got with the lineup?
Inside the game, you have to see. We knew before as Stian and Enea most likely will never last 90 minutes. So that was then also. Many of the other players also have played now everything because we don't have a bigger squad right now because we are in a transition period with different things. But they fight, and you see so much improvement in what we are doing in the first half. We play against a good team, and we were really dominant in that only half, and then it turns around in the second, and we tired out in the end, and that's what we have to not accept, but we have to work on. And then it's tough for many of these players coming into different position as well. And that is what it is. We needed to make the changes. We know that, and then you have to change in the back instead of changing in front, and that's a challenge because there could be other players in the front also. That's like Miggy, he was. Couldn't do anything the last 15 minutes. Alex was very tired, you can see. So that's but we are on our way to something.
There's the words of Ronnie Dial. A couple things we want to clear up, Maddie. Sounds like he did get a red card in the aftermath of the game. Obviously, some words directed at the officials there. Can't blame him necessarily. Certainly don't blame him. I think we're all kind of up in arms, and also he's in full agreement with you and I. There's just no world in which that second penalty occurs in the box.
Absolutely not. Listen, you can if you want to even try to complain about the shirt grabbing and whatever from Ronald, fine, that's defending. That happens all the time. I mean, let's be real here for a quick second. He's turning around. He's trying to make the cut there. The foul is committed. He pulls the shirt a little too much. He comes down outside of the box.
The foul's the foul. We're not arguing it's not a foul.
He trips. He takes a couple more steps and falls into the box, and then it's given a penalty.
Yeah.
It's a foul outside of the box. It
Correct.
Should have been a free kick right there.
That's right.
And it should not have been in the penalty box. Sorry, I'm getting a little bit heated.
No,
here,
but
that's
you're
one
right.
of those things.
It's one of these things where, look, I used to be a soccer official. You and I have both played soccer. We know the rules. We know where the contact begins. I think that's why Jason's so up in arms about it, too. There are rules that should be understood by everyone who wears that badge. And to miss it, to be at this level and to get it so wrong when so much is on the line for these guys, it's ridiculous. It's unforgivable. And for Jason to come out and state that this crew should never officiate at this level again, I completely agree. You can't be that
exactly.
wrong.
And it's also a thing, too. We talk about VAR all the time and the way I feel like this season's been talked about in the sense of overdoing it and using it almost as a way to turn things around or like to over-referee. In this case, that's exactly what you use VAR for, to see if it's a clear and obvious error, to check and see if it's outside. It's right on the edge. If you're going to check and see if it's a penalty, you go and check VAR to see where that foul is committed, and then you decide it. That's when it should have been used, and it wasn't used
at all. And I think the term, because we get caught up in the language of clear and obvious and what does get overturned, and we've been frustrated at multiple times this year if it was an obvious error or not. This, to me, was like the textbook definition of, this guy missed it. He very clearly missed it. It was obviously an error, and it needs to be given, as you mentioned, free kick outside the box, the card to Ronald, and so be it. But that didn't happen, and it's just frustrating. There's no doubt about it. It is frustrating, and argue what you want on the first penalty, whether it was light. It's understandable, at least, as a penalty, the second one. There's just no room for that in the game.
Also, too, like we talk about the penalties as mm-hmm. well. The penalties happen. It's okay, whatever. You move on in the match. The other thing that makes me mad is when Navas gets the red card.
Well, we hadn't gotten there
yet.
And
he stands there. Listen, I'm jumping the gun a bit, but you have to talk about this, too, because I'm not just complaining about the penalties, whatever. That happens. Goals happen. Cool. Red card happens, though. And how long from the stoppage time of the red card to the point he's walking off the field?
Yeah, you're talking
and none
like
of that
8 minutes.
Gets added on.
Yeah, you're talking like 8 minutes.
I completely agree with Ronnie Dial on this. In that moment, is that's unacceptable.
And it's one thing. Well, it's one thing to miss a call. You can't miss the calls that you miss, but you miss the calls. Whatever. It's a completely other thing to completely be unable to manage the game and to have players respect your word when you say you need to leave the pitch. And that didn't happen today, and that is as big an issue, and equally potentially could have cost Atlanta United the game because of the situation where it was going to be a field player in goal. Time wasn't added back on. You don't get a chance to attack a field player in goal. You've got Navas there, who you and I both respect the heck out of. He played a great game up until the red card, kept his squad in it at times. From a couple of Saba blasts, but you can't let a guy stay on a field when it's a very clear, and I guess the one thing we will credit, at least for the moment, is they gave Navas a card, a red card, straight red immediately, and they recognized at that time it was a straight red, and that was the right call. But to then allow him to meander on the pitch for 8 minutes, either arguing, wasting time, setting up walls from 70 yards away, it's just a complete lack of respect from the players, and it shows you how they approach that officiating
and
crew.
Also, too, if you watch the play as well, that's something I picked up on, too. You have a Pumas player actually not standing where the line was drawn when you did take the free kick. That was what Bartosz Lisz was over to talk about the referee for, and he gave Bartosz Lisz the yellow for it. That's the other thing you're arguing, too. He wasn't on line there. That's something you have to check, too. He takes the extra step forward. He's not in line there. It's just, I think, overall, when you look at the way the refereeing crew had an impact on this game, you cannot tell me that they didn't have an impact on the way that this game played out in any of those situations. Because if those don't happen and it's taken the extra bit of time to look at those things, we're probably looking at a different result here, because it was a really well-balanced matchup between Pumas and Atlanta United as well. And it's unfortunate that it's clouded by all of these decisions from the referee crew.
Yeah, I mean, like at the end of the day, at least one goal was like directly gifted in terms of that second PK. You could certainly talk about the first one, you could talk about Atlanta United being denied further opportunities with a field player, but at the minimum, you're talking about one goal directly handed to Pumas, and that's unacceptable. We do need to break. We're way past our first break, but when we come back, we'll hear the highlights of this match and continue our breakdown and hopefully hear further audio there from Inter and Coast Stadium in Orlando. It's Madison Cruz of Soccer Down Here. I am Abe Gordon. It is the full-time report. Atlanta United falls to Pumas 3-2 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. All right, at the stroke of midnight here in Atlanta, it is the full-time report. Atlanta United eliminated from League's Cup today because of a 3-2 defeat at the hands of Pumas and the officials, and we'll get into more detail and share some more frustration as we move through the rest of the full-time report. Do want to let you hear a little bit of the good. These highlights brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. We talked about a early penalty in the 23rd minute. Brooks Lennon on the foul there. It was soft, but it was a penalty. It's at least understandable, unlike the one later in the match. Alvaro Angulo steps up and drills it past Brad Guzan in the 23rd minute. That stands for just over 10 minutes before Saba puts the ball into a dangerous area. A great ball from Bartosz Sliss puts Saba at the back post. And he bangs one, and they ruled it eventually an own goal, but kind of like an asterisk on a Saba goal, as called here by Mike Conti.
He'll flip it over the top for Almiron. It connects to the near attacking corner. Angulo stabs it. Almiron still has it. Squares it to Sliss, top of the arc. Flips it to the back post for Saba, and volleys it into the net from the back post. Golazo! Listen, all you all, it's a sabotage. The angle, nearly impossible. A golazo for Saba to equalize in the 36th minute.
Yeah, and potentially geometrically impossible. That might have been why they gave Navas technically an own goal there, but certainly we both feel that's Saba's goal, and we'll get into that here in just a moment as we name a man of the match in a moment as well. But maybe Navas got a slight deflection that put it into the side netting on the far bar there. Either way, Atlanta comes back from a 1-0 deficit there and equalizes in the 36th minute. And then just a couple minutes later, just before half, Saba creates and Latte Loth finishes.
Knocked back by Moranchuk to Sliss. Pitch down the right wing, Almiron in a 1v1. Coming down the middle, ahead to Saba on the right wing. Dribbles, crosses, shot, score! Latte Loth! Saba is bossing this match right now. It's 2-1 Atlanta as he finds Latte Loth open on the back post.
And as you know by now, Atlanta unable to hold that lead in the second half. They give up a goal in the 62nd minute. And then in the 89th minute, the penalty kick, which again was originally saved, deflected by Guz onto the post, but an unlucky bounce comes right back to Coco Carrasquilla, and he then puts it back in on the second attempt, and that's a 3-2 victory for Pumas. Maddie, it's not going to count in the official standings, that is MLS only, but who do we think was Atlanta United's man of the match today?
I'm going to give it to Saba Lopchanice.
Yeah, definitely.
I think this season as well, you know, it was great to see him have those moments again, flickering through. It felt like at moments it's this season it's been, we haven't seen the Saba time, and we finally got to see it tonight. And I think you've seen that work pay off, because every time Saba has been on the pitch, he is working hard. We talk about his work ethic and his work rate when he's out there on the pitch, and he finally got something out of it. He got the goal. He was able to come in and create that opportunity, get the assist for Latte Loth as well. I think Saba Lopchanice, for me, is man of the match and what he was able to bring. And finally, accumulating what he should have been getting, especially with all of the hard work he's been putting in every time he's out on the pitch.
Yeah, we'll call it two goal contributions. I don't know how you technically want to statistically count up what was eventually an own goal, but I view that as Saba and Bartosz Sliss with the assist there kind of creating, and then obviously Saba with the pass across the face of goal, bouncing to Latte Loth, who then finished there as well. So I'd say two goal contributions there from Saba. I want to take you to a couple of conversations, Maddie, that you and I had in-game. One of them was before before Pumas' first goal, in the 15th or 16th minute, I said, is it, you agree with me? Does it feel like Atlanta's had the better start here? And I know you and I were kind of on the same page. It's not that either team was overly dangerous, but it felt like Atlanta had control. It felt like Atlanta was getting some touches in the attacking third. And it was just one of those things that we've seen so often this year. And it just felt like they had the better of it. All of a sudden, something goes against you. Sometimes it's been a bad bounce. Tonight, it was a tough penalty. They eventually score there in the 23rd minute. And you're like, man, that first 15 minutes felt like you were doing well, felt like you were out playing the team. It's all off the board because of one bad bounce or one or against the run of play situation. But I will say this, Atlanta United picked it back up afterwards and they finished the half strong and they went to halftime 2-1. But it's just frustrating to see these stretches where they dominate and then at the end of it, you find yourself trailing.
It's the balancing act of playing a team that is so similar to the style of play that you play as well. It's like I said earlier in pregame, it's a chess match. You're playing against each other. You're kind of figuring out, okay, we know what our weaknesses are here. That might be what theirs is. Okay, how do we combat it? Like, it's a chess game. And I felt like Atlanta United figured it out a little bit in the first 15, and then obviously you have the penalty that's given by the referee as well. And, you know, for me, we talked about it too. I do think it's on the softer side, but Brooks is like, his out, and it gets that step, and he leaves it out, which allows the Pumas attacker to come forward. He's looking for it, but he solds it to the referee, and that's exactly what you need. It's a penalty, and then it shifts the game a little bit. But I thought Atlanta held their own after the penalty too. We're able to come back immediately. Sabalop Chinita able to come in and make an impact. You go to halftime, and you're leading 2-1. You're able to come back after that penalty, and I think that's something to take out of in the positive of it too. You saw the response from this team immediately after the penalty. You saw the response, the fight and the grit to come back into it and to fight. And that's what we need to see in those moments. And we saw it here tonight. And they fought. They fought all the way through. And I think that's what's important about it. You see the fight through. I thought in the second half, I agree with Ronnie Dyla. I thought first half they dominated. Second half, it kind of fell off. It felt like Pumas was able to kind of come back into this one. Were able to claw their way back in. But I still thought there were moments, or flashing moments too. But it's just, you gotta come back into this one. We gotta see that fight, and we did see it tonight. We saw the fight from this team every stretch of the way, throughout every single one of those moments. We saw the fight.
Yeah, unfortunately, they were fighting too many parties, both players and officials, and that's why it ends with Pumas. And that will, for all points, end Atlanta United's run in the League's Cup. Obviously, they still have a third match coming up, but both Atlanta United is officially eliminated. Atlas is officially eliminated. There is some side stories. We'll bring that up here coming into the third match in just a moment as well. But when we come back here, we'll continue to break down some of what we saw in this game, including a now apparent concern about the depth of the ball club in one certain position. We'll talk about that. A couple of weeks ago, you had 9 or 10 of these guys. Now you're down to 2, and neither of them can make it through the full 90. So we'll talk about the situations that Atlanta United is dealing with and how potentially they will address it in the midweek match as well. It's Madison Cruz of Soccer Down here. I am Abe Gordon. The full-time report continues next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the full-time report. Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz. Don't mind us. We're just arguing between ourselves over break about which was the bigger screw up from the officials, from the referees, and look, you can point to how much, obviously the long delays in stoppage time are a problem. You could probably count to, did they add time back on in stoppage time? And I know Mike Conley checked the videotape and said only 55 seconds were played after the foul and all that. And I think the bigger error, which Jason had pointed out initially, is how can there only be 5 or 6 minutes of stoppage time to begin with? I think that's an issue. I think probably with the substitution and the delay, you add a little bit of time back on. But I honestly wasn't surprised by the amount of time that they did or didn't play after they finally got to a point where Atlanta United took the free kick. I told you, I don't think there's but a minute left, and Mike Conley said they played 55 more seconds. I think the bigger issue is based on everything you had earlier throughout the half, only adding 6 minutes. It felt like that was 9 or 10 minutes of stoppage time, and that's just not what they added back on.
They didn't add any of that back on at all. I felt like it when you look at the 6 minutes that were given. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
To everything that played out in the second half, it doesn't make sense at all. And even too, when you're looking at the stoppage time as well, when that it was committed, when the foul was committed, you still had about 2.5, maybe 1:30 left into the game, especially in stoppage time.
Yeah.
You got to add that back, especially for the fact that Navas was standing there complaining with the ref. They were pointing at the screen. I don't know what they were pointing at, because it clearly showed that he came out of his box and committed a dog so foul. I don't know what they were trying to argue with that one, just pointing out to confirm that it was a red card. I don't know. But you're pointing to the board saying that. There's all that theatrics as well. Then he comes on to try to put the goalkeeper's shirt on to the field player. You have all of that shenanigans going on, as well as the equipment manager coming on to assist in that process. And then Navas is slowly walking off the field and is able to help organize things, especially in the free kick. The way it was all controlled from that moment on, that should not have happened. There was no control in the game at all.
Yeah, it was a mess, and you're right. Another thing that you said off air that we may as well bring onto the air, because it's so tough to talk about the performance tonight without like a direct complaint about how it was managed and officiated. And I think there have been games where we can complain about the officiating, but also say at the same time, Atlanta United just straight up lost that game. It's so tough to sit here and say Atlanta United straight up lost that game, because there's a call in that second penalty that just can't be given, and it leads directly to a goal. And it's tough to say that you lost this game when a goal was gifted. And, you know, we're not here to sit and blame officials. Atlanta United needs to do better, right? There were chances. Navas had some good saves in the first half on Saba. Whatever it is, you didn't get the ultimate performance that you needed. That's fine. But I can't sit here and say that you were beaten by Pumas. I mean, you were beaten by the combination of Pumas and the officials. And we've had other matches where, yeah, officiating is bad. You could complain about the timing or the red cards or yellow cards or the lack of cards or VAR or whatever. But at the same time, you could sit there and say, but also Atlanta United got beat. I just don't find it. I don't find it today in this discussion because of how directly impactful it was on the final result.
It's difficult to look at the game, I think, in a full view of how it was played out and not talk about the impact the referees had on the situations. You can't sit there and say that it didn't. And anybody who is, I don't know how you can, because everybody will be talking about those penalties. Everyone will be talking about those decisions. Everyone's going to be talking about what happened during stoppage time with the red card. It's hard to not talk about those decisions that are made in the game and how it does impact things going forward. It's also not just those bigger calls, too. It's the smaller fouls. I go back to that one aerial duel that Steon Gregerson won and was given a yellow card for going up and winning the header. And there was nothing there for me. And then the same thing happens to us, to Atlanta United. And it's a foul, but there's no card going the other way. It's those small things that can build and also do impact those moments as well. I do think if we're looking at performance-wise, though, you're looking at an even matchup between Pumas and Atlanta United. I think there's still some things to clean up. Ronnie Dyla said that in the post-game press conference as well, getting things more solidified, especially just cleaning up those things. But I do think that overall, in the last couple of games, you've seen an improvement from this team. You've seen an improvement on the field, especially with the quality we've seen from the players and those connections and those relationships that have been building. I also think, too, the fight as well. I like that every last minute we have seen this team battle to come back and to fight in this game. And that's something to take away from. It's something to build upon heading into next week when you have another double match week. You have that matchup against Atlas as well, which is the return of Gonzalo Pineda. Then you have going back to league matches as well. You're going to go back on the road to Montreal. You got to take the positives from this, continue to build, continue to clean up those small mistakes and keep going. But for us to sit here and say that we cannot talk about this game without talking about those decisions, that's stupid.
Yeah, and I think the lack of results is equally as frustrating because of what you're mentioning. The performances do kind of feel like they're there, certainly at least are closer than they have been at most any other part of the season. And there was time early in the year where you just sat there and said, man, they're playing well, they're not getting results, and it feels like we're back to that, which is partially a good thing to be able to sit here and say you're playing well. But ultimately, you're always, and Ronnie Dylan knows this, he's mentioned this multiple times over the course of the season, ultimately you're eventually going to be judged on the results, not the performances. And so that's something we still have to deal with. When we come back here on the Full-Time Report, we are going to turn the page and talk a little bit about the final League's Cup matchup. You mentioned Gonzalo Pineda. He'll be returning, but it at this time does not appear that Ronnie Dylan will be facing him. We'll detail that. We'll also talk about the potential of changes in the starting 11, and I mean wholesale. And we'll make our arguments for why not. And so we'll talk about that. I'm Abe Gordon. She is Madison Cruz. We got Dom Chirosky hanging out with us as well. The Full-Time Report continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. And League's Cup action. Atlanta United falls to Pumas 3-2. And effectively ending their run in League's Cup. Of course, they still have a third match coming. That is going to be on Wednesday night against Atlas. And as Maddie has mentioned, that is a club that is now managed by former Atlanta United manager Gonzalo Pineda. So he's going to be making his return to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I know a lot of people who cover Atlanta United, very excited about Gonzalo Pineda coming back and getting a chance to reunite. Unfortunately for him, unfortunately for Atlanta, the game is essentially meaningless. Neither team is going to be in a position to advance in League's Cup. Atlas was eliminated earlier today in a loss. Atlanta United throughout the deep part of the night in a loss. Both squads are eliminated. And then there's the side story that Ronnie Dylan was red carded tonight after the game, and I would imagine that would force him to miss this League's Cup game unless they can get it overturned or if there's a different rule set. But I'd imagine that red card is going to force him off the touchline on Wednesday night. So we'll see who steps up there. Where do we want to start here? The game is not relevant in terms of wins, losses, penalty shootout. Whatever the outcome is point-wise, it doesn't matter. And I look at something that happened in tonight's game, a couple of things that happened in tonight's game, but interested to see how it plays itself out midweek for Wednesday. I want to start here with some of the issues with the substitutions tonight and the plan going in at center back. Pedro Amador was a late week injury issue. Derek Williams had some problems as well. And it's you're in a weird window where it's a bad time to have a center back shortage because you have shipped off Efren Morales. You have shipped off Noah Cobb. You just bought out Luis Abram. You are down three of your center backs. Derek Williams makes four. And Nia Mihai has just come onto the squad. He's not fully 90 fit. Steon Gregerson had missed months with an injury. Doesn't seem like he's quite 90 fit. Made it into the 81st today before he was also subbed out. Didn't matter, right? Because ultimately, and you and I talked about it, Maddie, like a shootout, a win or a loss almost is irrelevant. Like it had to be 3 points. So I didn't really mind necessarily whatever you do formation-wise. You have to go for 3 points, so I don't really care about who's in the back. I'm worried about how you're trying to find a goal. Even before they gifted a goal and gave a penalty kick, like you had to take a lead here at some point. So I wasn't too concerned. I will say this. I'm interested in what it's going to look like in the midweek. With the game no longer being meaningful, I think the attention is now put back into the MLS game. You mentioned it's a double match week. It's compression and all that. And so because of that, we are in a world for me where I'm just like, play everyone that you have called up for either because of their contract status or shirt term, whatever it is. We saw Nick Sesok today. You want to give him a start? Fine. Dom Chonqui? Absolutely. I would have him in the lineup. Will Riley? Certainly is going in there. And Togashi? Another one. Like, you want any of these guys that have roster eligibility without you having to move paperwork around or whatever, these guys are all getting starts for me, potentially even Hibbert, who we've seen once and had a nice outing, in for Goose. Anyone I can rest that I have a replacement for, I'm going to.
It's an opportunity to rest some guys, especially, too, because next week you are looking at another double match week. You're looking at playing this last match in Leagues Cup against Atlas, and then on Saturday you're having a quick turnaround because then you're traveling to Montreal to play Montreal. So and then you're back to regular season, which, as Chris Henderson said in the pregame show to Mike and Jason, that's where you need to start picking up some wins. And so right now, I think for me, Atlanta United, that focus shifts to Montreal. So, yeah, it's an opportunity on Wednesday to rest a lot of your starters, let them take a break a little bit. Let them take a break a little bit, and then you get the chance to start some of your guys off the bench. That's Kamen Togashi. That's Dominic Chongqui. That's some players that can come in and step up. That's Jaden Hibbert as well. Let players get some rest and breathe before you travel to Montreal.
But and also, let's get these young guys the experience. And
absolutely.
And again, not to say that these games are meaningless, but you know what I mean when I say it, especially
it's an opportunity to allow for players to get a professional feel, especially against a team like Atlas that is a strong Liga MX side.
And
that
who
is
knows
also
what
still
they're going to be bringing to because they're out of it too.
They're still developing as well, so it's an opportunity.
But I know we saw Sesok, and there were some comments that are like, it is his first action. He's got to get used to the speed. He's got to get used to it. Like, same thing. Dom Chongqui, like, saw him a little bit. It's been 2.5 months since he performed for Atlanta United and was forced into duty. Again, if you're going to make a mistake on Wednesday, where if you lose 5-0, it just doesn't matter. I guess from a confidence standpoint, or you want to argue momentum heading back into the MLS season, something like that. But you haven't really had that at any point all year. So I'd be, if it were me, now, Ronnie Dolan maybe can't. Someone else has got to make all the decisions. I'm just kidding. He'll be available to make the call before the game. But if it's me, if I'm Ronnie Dolan, I'm just every young guy that I got that on a contract can be pulled into this game is going to. And so we'll see what the lineup looks like on Wednesday. But I just wouldn't be surprised if there's a number. I won't say wholesale, but a number of changes there in the rotation. Jason Longshore, before departing Interenco Stadium, did get an opportunity to speak with a couple of players. Here is Jason with center back Steon Gregerson.
Here at Interenco Stadium with Steon Gregerson, Steon, team played really well for about 60, 65 minutes. You and Anaya started to feel the effects of that. How would you judge the performance before you guys started to get fatigued?
I think we played a good game. We came down, and it was a good reaction in the team that we turned that to 2-1. But after 60 minutes, we got a little bit tired, and then we open up too much. In the end, we lose the game. So it's not good enough, and we have to keep going. From the past, it was only 45 minutes. Now it's 60, so that's a step. But we have to play good in 95 minutes, and we're working on that every day.
How are you feeling physically after such a long layoff? How are you kind of getting back into the flow of this?
Yeah, for me personally, it's have been a tough week. 3 games in 7 days, especially when I have been out so long time. But my fitness will come very fast now. So. I think when we start playing MLS again, my fitness will be good.
And last one for me, just you got a chance to play for an extended period with Inea for the first time. How did that partnership come together in your mind?
Yeah, it was very good. He came in with energy, with a vocal, kind of a vocal. So it was good. He's a good central back, and we find the connection very fast. So, yeah.
Awesome. Steon, thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Steon Gregerson got through 81 minutes as he continues to work his way back to full health. And Nia Mihai was subbed out a couple of minutes before him. But I mentioned to you before the game, that's a center back pairing I really like and think they can do some big things here. But Certainly, we've got to get at least one of them to 90 minutes fit, if not both, and especially right now when you're dealing with a couple of things with Derek Williams and some roster adjustments and shortages and all that as well. All right, when we come back, more on the return of Gonzalo Pineda to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and more on wrapping up League's Cup for Atlanta United. They fall 3-2 tonight to Pumas. We'll take on Atlas at Wednesday. Final thoughts coming your way. It is the full-time report. Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final couple of minutes here, wrapping things up in the full-time report. Atlanta United falls to Pumas tonight, 3-2 in Orlando, Iterenco Stadium. That's going to eliminate them from League's Cup. Their opponent on Wednesday, their final League's Cup match this year, Atlas, also eliminated from League's Cup. So it's going to be interesting to see which each team's approach is to this game. But there's potential that Atlas wants this one and wants it badly because their manager is Gonzalo Pineda. He obviously, for those of you who maybe are new Atlanta United fans or just listening, driving around past midnight here for the first time, Gonzalo Pineda was fired essentially from being Atlanta United's manager. And so there's all, you know, look, I think Pineda is a good dude. I don't know if revenge is the right term. There seems to be like a sinister feel when you call it that. I don't think Pineda has hatred or disdain or any of that towards Atlanta United. It didn't work out, and I think that's sometimes okay. But there's also, you know, you want a little bit of giving them the business, and so this is a situation where Atlas might come in and want this game. And as Mike Conti has mentioned multiple times, Atlanta United has never won a League's Cup match. It would be nice, even if it ultimately doesn't get you anywhere, to win your first League's Cup match against a Liga MX squad. And so we'll see how each team's mindset is, but Gonzalo Pineda coming back. It is at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm interested to see if there is a reception of some sort. I don't know if they'll do like a video, but if they just manage by Pineda and just hear the fans maybe give a little bit of a reception for Pineda, I think would feel pretty nice. Most of the people that I interact with in regards to Atlanta United fans don't have a problem with him, didn't have a problem with him. Look, didn't work out. Things turned south, but I think a lot of people did certainly respect Pineda and liked his demeanor and don't have a problem with the guy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think a lot of people forget that when Gonzalo Pineda came into Atlanta United, that was his first time being a head coach ever in his career. He was the assistant coach at Seattle Sounders, and he got the position with Atlanta United, and then he got the position at Atlas, and it was really cool for him, and it was really cool to see that as well. I know, for me, just for a personal standpoint, you know, 2024 was my first season covering the team full time, especially with soccer down here, and it can be intimidating sometimes going into that situation, and you know, being young and stepping in there and, you know, asking questions. But Gonzalo always made it feel very easy. So it was very fun. So it'll be fun to have him back at the Benz on Wednesday as well. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to that. We'll have more discussion about that when we get to the Five Stripes countdown. Before that game, I'm sure we'll hear from Pineda by then and maybe grab a cup or two, a cut or two there. Hey, before we break, Atlanta United wants to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $4,000. So, again, League's Cup match two down the drain tonight, 3-2. They fall to Pumas, but one game does remain. It is Wednesday against Gonzalo Pineda and Atlas. That's going to do it for the full-time report. Join us again 6:30 on Wednesday, August 6th, for our next broadcast. Again, taking on Atlas in League's Cup. Special thanks to Dom Cherosky, our producer in studio. For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United, safe travels back here to Atlanta. And for Madison Cruz of Soccer Down Here, I am Abe Gordon. Once again, the final today, Atlanta United 2 and Pumas 3 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.